Okay, are we on? It's 2 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and convene the vacancy committee. Per the Code of Iowa, the committee to fill any vacancy on the Board of Supervisors consists of the auditor, the recorder, and the treasurer who are present today. So. No. So our first order of business is to elect a chairperson.
I would move to have Lucy Martin serve as our chairperson.
I will second the motion.
Okay, Stacey, yeah. I did do it last time.
You did a very fine job last time.
Yeah. But, okay, well, if we don't want to take turns, I'm happy to accept the position if that's okay. So we can get the ball rolling here. So,
Do we need a motion? Or do we need a roll call?
Yeah, so we can just do a voice vote.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right. Short straw it is. So we have a tentative agenda which was posted. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda as presented or make any changes?
I move to adopt.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. All right. Now we get to my presentation, which unfortunately is used pretty often these days. So, okay. All right. So this is just the code section. I do have a copy up here if anyone would like to look at it. But a vacancy on the Board of Supervisors is filled either by appointment or by special election. If the committee chooses to appoint, we shall make that appointment within 40 days. And if we opt for a special election, that shall be held at the earliest practicable date. If the appointment is made, citizens can still petition for a special election within 14 days of the appointment. So that's just a general overview of the rules. Here's a little comparison I put together. So unlike the vacancy we had 3 years ago, we don't have blackout dates. We don't have a primary pending. So actually, the earliest practical date and the date by which we must make the appointment coincide, which would be July 9th. If we opt for a special election, then the filing deadline for candidates would be June 14th. And for an election held on July 9th, then the canvass would be held on July 16th. If we appoint, we would do a notice of intention to appoint, and that would be published 4 to 20 days before we meet. We have 40 days to do that, and then the appointee would be sworn in. And again, the option to have a special election is never taken away from the citizens. They would have 14 days to hold a special election. Signatures required for that would be 4,283. So, and I do have what a petition page would look like if anyone's interested in seeing that. That's a form that's available on the Secretary of State site. And petitions for both election for candidates and to would be filed with my office, the County Auditor's Office. So either candidate petitions or a citizen petition. So just to make sure that people understand that a vacancy does not reset the term for the seat. So this seat will still be up for its regular 4-year term in 2022. If we would hold a special election, the successful candidate would be elected for the residue of the term. That's the code language, not mine. Residue always reminds me that there's like, you know, a sticky tack or something on it, but that's actually what the certificate says. And then if we appoint, the appointee would serve until the next pending election. Now, the next scheduled election for the county would be November 3rd, 2020. And it would go on the ballot to fill a vacancy. And then whoever is elected that election would be sworn in at canvas and again serve for the residue of the term, and then the seat will always be up in 2022. So, and if a countywide election is held, which we have not had a countywide election, I think, since 1998, the special election, so it's been a minute since we've done that. But any appointees, any seats filled by vacancy would automatically be put on that ballot. So if we were to have, the last special election we had was the bond election for the Justice Center. If we were to have something like that, any vacancies would go on such a ballot. Any questions so far? You see a pretty big differential in costs here. Special election, I'm assuming the use of vote centers. Vote centers is where you would have so many voting locations throughout the county, and anybody in the county could vote at such a location. So sort of a one-seat election or a one-issue election would lend itself to the use of vote centers. So, for instance, if you live in Colo but work in Ames, like your wife does, Ted, then she could go and vote in Ames. The cost of elections, we've had a lot of significant changes to election law in the last 3 years.
Hey, Lucy, yeah. Just to go back to vote centers, with the new law with the voter ID, do you expect that to be a more difficult situation with the voter ID in vote centers so that people would have to be ready to
the same rules apply whether you use vote centers or whether you use assigned precincts. So that doesn't affect the cost if that's your question.
Yep.
The cost of elections has gone up due to significant changes in the law. So I mean, that low end there, $30,000, that's if I use fewer vote centers, which is not, you know, anytime you use fewer for people, it's not great. So I'm more comfortable with that $40,000 figure. If I use every precinct in the county, $86,000. So you can see the sort of benefit there of using a vote center. Appointment, we have publication costs. We have overtime for, I'm just assuming my staff would do the work because we do the board's meetings and we're familiar with the process. You see Shelley here working the meeting today. I would assume the use of night meetings because for public input and that costs about $400, give or take. It would really depend. Very rough estimate. So you see a pretty big difference there. So just a little more about how an election would work. And this is if we opt for an election or if we are petitioned for election. Because it's a county offices are partisan, political parties would nominate candidates by reconvening their county convention. And then candidates would file a convention certificate and an affidavit of candidacy with me. For candidates unaffiliated with parties or not nominated by their parties, they would file a nomination petition, 250 signatures, as well as the affidavit of candidacy. And the two recognized parties in Iowa are the Democratic and Republican parties. We also have non-party political organizations, NPPOs. You might refer to them as other things, but auditors, that's the terminology that we use. But say Libertarians or Greens or Socialist Workers Party of America, things like that, they might have their own nominating convention or they could circulate a petition. So, and then... again, the filing deadline would be Friday, June 14th, in my office, 5 p.m., for a special election date held on July 9th. And turnout okay, this is, you know, that's more art than science. If we were to call an election, I would expect maybe lower turnout than if we were petitioned for an election where you already have people talking about it. And these are the things that affect, you know, unfortunately, if it rains, election turnout goes down. That's not just in Story County. That's like all over the United States. So a number of candidates would affect that, and then any absentee voting activity that we had. So there's really no recent data for us to rely on for that, and that is my best guess. It's a pretty big swing. Could be under, could be over, but that's what I'm telling you today. So that's my presentation. I don't know if you two had any more questions for me. Okay. Are we ready to move on to public comments?
Yeah.
So if you want to make a comment, please come up to the microphone here. Please fill out a slip of paper and give it to the clerk, and that's so we can record your comments in our minutes. We will have official minutes of our meeting. Anyone want to say anything?
I have a comment question. So you didn't cover what the application.
Can you please come up to the microphone so we can get that
sure.
recorded?
Doug Moore, 3938 Squaw Road, Ames. You didn't mention what's the application process for an appointment.
There is nothing in the code, so if we opt for appointments, then that's something that we'll talk about today and consider today. So we would come up with that in this
right.
meeting.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Sorry. Josh Opperman. My comment is really just with the low turnout and the cost of doing an election, I think it's really important that we also take into account that not only does it cost $30,000 or $40,000 to do that, it's also taking all of the auditor's staff off of their normal duties, which I'm sure they're not anxious to do. And That's basically it. To me, it feels like a waste of time to do it that way when the public already has the ability to request it if they want it. And considering the last two supervisors' vacancies were filled by appointment, that seems to be an acceptable way to the public so far.
Thank you. You know the drill, Loris.
I know.
Name and address.
I know. Loris Olson, Story County Supervisor. So if you go with the special election, then will we still have to wait another week for the election results for the two board members to certify the election results? And where I'm really looking is from a planning standpoint, when is the earliest somebody could be sworn in?
When we certify the election yeah. results, which is the Board of Supervisors acting as the Board of Canvassers.
For the next week.
Right. So
we'll be looking at another week.
Results would be unofficial on July 9th and then official on July 16th.
Got
yes.
It. Okay, thanks.
July 9th is a Tuesday. So it
right.
is a Tuesday.
And so then, yep. we certify it as yep. canvassers before our regular later. Board meeting next week. I was just kind of counting out how many weeks we're working a little short staffed. Thank you.
Other comments?
Yeah.
All right.
Jim Freebert, a longtime resident here in Story County, and I just saw the article in the paper on this, and that's why I came to this meeting. But I certainly agree there's no reason to have a special election when the three of you can definitely select somebody, and you've done a good job in the past. I'd like to submit, though, that I'd like to see you consider Monty Chitty. I think that he has been on the board, and he brings a lot of experience, and I think that it would be a real asset if you do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. any more public comments in favor or against either option? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close public comments and we'll move on to consideration of our option. So take it away, Ted and or Stacy.
Do we start with a motion or a discussion?
Whatever we want to do.
You can discuss if you want, or
you can make comments, or we can have a motion and then have discussion.
I would, I guess my only comments would be similar to what we just heard from public. The cost of election, the timing of election, the suspected turnout, and then something that you didn't go over here, the recruitment of poll workers in mid-July seems like a very large challenge, and then throwing in the most recent law regarding special elections and how that may or may not affect a special election without any real experience with them.
Well, special elections for vacancies can be held on any Tuesday. We're not, okay, we're not held to the special election calendar by code. I should have mentioned that earlier. Okay. But vacancies can go on any Tuesday that's available. So.
Okay. Any comments, Stacey?
I think a lot of Story County voters would like the opportunity to vote for this open seat. This is created by the vacancy, but I have a hard time swallowing that $30,000 to $40,000. I want to do what's best for Story County, but I'm also very fiscally responsible, and I think appointment is a better scenario for this group at this time.
So can I get a motion? Or
motion to appoint to fill the supervisor vacancy.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Further discussion?
No.
I appreciate your concerns for my office. We do what we have to do for the public. So, yes, the cost of elections is mostly a human cost. 50% to 60% comes from our poll workers, so, and those are getting harder and harder to recruit. So I'm just going to throw that out there for everyone in the audience. If you ever wanted to be a poll worker, come talk to me after this meeting. I can make that happen. And I think Stacey and I have been through this before. This is a much happier occasion. So, I mean, for the supervisor that's leaving us, so that's and we do not have the burden of trying to make a decision without muddying the waters of a upcoming primary election.
Right, the sense of urgency isn't.
Yeah, so
that's great.
And having done this before, I feel comfortable with what we did. Probably want to tweak that process. So I would support also appointment. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that was was unanimous then. All right, now we come to the fun part, is how do we do this? We did get the question from the audience, what is the process? The process is not given anywhere. The process is up to us. And I think we all have some ideas. We visited what the committee did 3 years ago. And I know I brought some questions that I would like to make part of any application process, but we need to talk. Yeah, we should talk dates and times and overall process.
For the crowd here, I think either you or I or Stacy should maybe recap the way it was done last time if we're going to follow that general philosophy. Do you want to do that? Want me to? Or
yeah. So the last time we did opt again for appointment, I think historically Story County has always opted for appointment, and that has served us well. You know, the other counties do not always opt for a special election. So it's just interesting. 99 counties, 99 different ways of doing things. Last time we had an application process. I believe, Stacy, you were the recipient of those documents. And we had written responses, and then we had presentations by all applicants. I would like to refine that process. I can't speak for Stacy, but I think we could improve upon the process that we had. Doing that would probably add another meeting to the schedule. But I think I would like to use this very similar process to solicit applicants and then maybe do a more refined process, a second stage, maybe a finalist stage.
Mm-hmm.
That would give us more time to question potential supervisors and have them present to us more fully. I felt we had a really big applicant pool, and while I liked hearing from everybody, I don't know that it served the overall process as well as I would have liked it to,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
I still like the each applicant would submit the cover letter, a
mm-hmm.
resume, and then when we compile our questions, which it sounds like what we're going to do, they'll answer those questions and then submit those to whoever we decide is the elected official that will keep them, and also that they're public record, and anyone can come in and look
right.
at those.
Once they get filed, anyone can come in and examine them. Yeah. So.
So what we're looking at is defining what an applicant needs to submit to be considered,
mm-hmm.
the time frame of when they need to submit that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're considering the three of us convening and determining finalists, and then following up our determination of finalists with then public presentations with question and answer options.
Right.
Because last time you guys said, due to the immense amount of people, there just wasn't much time for follow-up questions.
Yeah, last time we said, okay, we're going to meet, everybody gets to speak, and if we want to, we might hold a second meeting. But, again, I think we were more, at least I can't speak for Stacy or Renee, who was on the committee, but I felt like it was in the better interest of the county that we made a decision before the primary election was held, mm-hmm. and we weren't... sort of, even though that seat was not up and it was separate, we just really didn't want to interfere with that process or confuse voters, I think mm-hmm. is the way to go. So I just feel we have a little more breathing room. So I would actually prefer that we do have that third meeting and give ourselves more time to hear from applicants,
mm-hmm.
ask more questions, maybe explore everybody a little more fully than we did,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
So move on to questions, what we want to include in the application poll.
So we're going to ask for a cover letter,
mm-hmm.
a resume,
mm-hmm.
and then last time you guys mentioned
letters of reference. Mm-hmm.
I would actually like to add to that and add contact information for three professional references that we could talk to. We could call individually.
And in terms of letters of reference, did you guys require at least two letters of reference?
No, we actually at least one.
Okay. At least.
So, I mean, you can have as many as you want. I did come up with, I looked at our materials that we requested last time. I tweaked those, but these are 12 questions that I would potentially like to ask, but we can talk about those. We can refine them,
add
them.
We would need written responses to these questions.
Right. That would be our initial phase one, if you will. And I didn't know if you had brought also questions, or you want to look at mine, and then we can go through them, tweak them, delete them, add to them. I also would like to talk to HR and just talk about some general application requirements that we do. I know I've talked to Alyssa Wignall, our HR director. For veterans preference, I think we have to post for at least 10 days. And I had talked to her about if we did do appointment and we do have, say, a list of finalists, can we do background checks like we do for employees here on our list of finalists before we make a decision, and I think it takes 24 to 48 hours to do that. Is that right? Yeah.
And so, what was the cost? Was not.
It's like $35 or so.
Okay.
Which I did build into my $400 there.
Oh.
So.
Did you bring, did you have this on digital so that our audience members
can
see what
we're doing? No, because I didn't know if you, I wanted to make sure that,
okay.
This is just my ideas. I don't want to speak for the committee until we.
And a lot of these are the same questions as you guys used before, right?
Or similar.
Similar.
Similar. You know, if we consider appointment is essentially a job application, what would you ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think all of us know from running for office, it's pretty similar to the questions you get when you are either running in a primary or running in a general election, or questions that you might get asked at forums. Or by the papers, or by constituents when you knock on their doors with your glossy flyers. So, but like I said, this is just my draft based on previous one.
And then four finalists will have an opportunity to ask follow-up questions is what the idea would be, rather than just a public presentation. We'd have a public presentation with follow-up questions.
I don't have a number of finalists in my mind, just sort of.
I don't think he meant the number four.
Oh,
I thought
four
he meant
finalists. Oh, sorry.
For the finalists.
Yeah, I thought you said four finalists. Yeah, no.
He said four finalists.
This is our written.
I'm thinking like final four, you know.
This is our written submissions.
Right.
If we have follow-up questions,
oh yeah,
we could either ask the finalists as selected to come in to prepare to answer those, or ask them during their presentation.
Yeah, I really don't want to limit ourselves. I think as long as we treat each finalist the same and ask them the same questions, we can ask whatever we want.
Okay.
I don't want to limit ourselves there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Ted, last time we had everybody come in, but the when we had an applicant in the room, the other applicants were sequestered in a conference room, and I think that worked well. So that we did treat everybody the same, and nobody got to, you know, when you go last and you get to hear everybody's responses, mm-hmm. and you also can sit and formulate your answer. Not particularly fair sometimes, so.
I like these 12 questions, Lucy. They were a good combination of what we asked with a few additional ones about service and leadership.
But,
I think this is a great start.
Do you want me to go ahead and read the, or
yeah,
read them, or are you in agreement to use these 12, or do you want to add any, or?
I don't think I would have any additional ones for this first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think 12 questions is a, that's a pretty significant ask for an appointment. They're going to have to put in some time for time and effort and show that this process is important to them. Mm-hmm. So I'm good with the 12.
Okay. Do you want me to read them? Or
no, go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
Even though you have a sore throat.
Yeah,
if you're
here with me. What do you want to be, or why do you want to be a Story County supervisor? Why are you the most qualified person to be appointed? Number two, describe the primary responsibilities of a county supervisor. Number three, give examples of where you have demonstrated good leadership principles. Number four, describe what service means to you and how you exemplify a service in your career and in your life.
Oh, I think that's just service. That's just a typo. Oh,
typo.
Number five, what are the greatest challenges currently facing Story County? What is the Board of Supervisors' role in addressing them? Number six, if appointed, what main goals do you plan to accomplish as a board member? Are there any changes you would like to implement? Number seven, how familiar are you with the issues faced by rural Story County residents and residents of the other small communities within Story County? Number eight, how will you weigh your personal convictions and beliefs against the desire of the citizens of the county to determine the best course of action when making decisions? Number nine, describe your experience putting together and managing budgets.
On that one, do we want to add something that says something along the lines of public budgets? Do you have any experience with public budgets, or just assume that an appointment will add that in?
Well, when we say your experience, I guess you would describe it, you know, within the roles that you've done that in. So that would be, I think, readily apparent to us.
Okay.
But.
Number 10, describe your approach to balancing economic and business interests with the interests of private citizens. Number 11, what is your political affiliation? And describe your involvement in your party/political organization. And number 12, post-appointment scenarios. Letter A, if you are appointed and a special election is petitioned, will you seek nomination to run in the special election? B, if you are not appointed, will you petition for a special election or run in a special election that is petitioned? Or C, if appointed, will you run for the vacancy for the residue
of the term,
of the term. Could you hear me okay? I should have asked that before.
Residue of the term, yeah. So I found all my typos when you did that, so that's good. There were only three in a half a page of paper. And are we in agreement on the cover letter, the resume, the contact information for three professional references, and then letters of reference? Is that, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I'm good with that.
On the professional references,
mm-hmm.
would we expect that each of the three of us would call each reference? Would we have to divide that out? With the way that this is in a public setting and we have, you know, the sunshine laws for public meetings, would one of us, I guess, how would we handle the contacting the three references and then communicate the responses back to the rest of the group in a way that is public record? Or do we have to?
Well, that's a great question.
Do we have to, like, if you call somebody, do you have to disclose something to all, to the two of us in a way that would then become public record for everyone else, or how does that work?
I'm going to look to
the I'm going to kick the stage.
I know that when we hire and we contact references, mm-hmm. there's a nice two-page sheet that Alyssa uses and we in our office use. It might be something.
Correct. You can make up a form. And then get the information on the form and share it with the committee. I wouldn't have. I mean, you could each call each reference. And that seems a little.
So since you're now up at the.
You have more questions.
Here, if we have 20 candidates, that's 60 references, would you and Noel be able to assist in the calling, or is it required that in this situation the three of us would have to do the calling? Or
how can make the decision.
So if
you could have someone make the phone call
if we needed somebody.
We've sent some of them by email too before. If we don't, if we're not able to connect, there's a form that we send and they fill it out and email back to us. So
okay.
I mean, that depends. Do you want to check references on all your candidates? Do you want to wait?
Yeah,
until,
we would see.
Select that would mean you guys need to make that decision. But we're happy to help.
Okay.
If you need help making those calls.
So we would just fill out the questionnaire and then put that with the public record with each appointment if we called follow up with references.
Yeah.
Okay. And then would this be a, would we set this up on StoryCountyIowa.gov as a normal, they could attach all this, or would we need them to come in and drop it off in paper with
us? We didn't use NeoGov last time.
NeoGov, there we
go. No, this committee didn't choose it. We have used it. We used it for the attorney vacancy.
Right, which the board appoints, and HR works for the board,
for
so
the board.
I think...
better to have them submit in paper.
Well, they don't submit in paper. They could submit an email.
Or
but
email it.
We should probably select who's going to be. We had one person just be the receptacle. And so whether we got emails or whether we got mail, and that was in our notice of intention to appoint, was like where to send your materials.
Okay. That can be my office.
Okay. Thank
We're
you.
We're on the first floor.
Thank you, Ted.
Everybody seems to make it in there. So.
Yeah, you're right there by the front door, so that's easy. And right there by the mailboxes.
Yeah.
So.
Would the chair entertain a comment at some point?
From you, Loris, or?
From me.
Well, I would, on this particular topic?
Correct.
Sure.
You got to reopen public comment then.
Well, I'm a sitting supervisor.
I understand, Loris, but I think you got to reopen public comment.
We can.
I don't have my rule book with me.
No.
All right. So do we want to reopen public comment? Shall we?
Yes. I'll move to reopen public comment for Loris to speak.
Okay.
I'll
or
second.
Anyone
Everyone
to
comment.
Speak, actually. Anyone to speak.
I'll second. Do we have to have a vote or do we just a motion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So that means we are reopening public comment. So anyone may come to the mic and speak, and then you would, again,
name and address.
Name and address, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura Solson, Story County Supervisor. I would just like to remind this committee, and I know you're well aware of it because each of you are elected officials, but this conversation seems to be drifting toward hiring an employee, and we all know we have different rights. We have different responsibilities as elected officials, and I got a little concerned, veterans' preference, being that because I just am concerned. It's your choice, whatever you want to do. I'm just concerned. But this person will eventually have to run to be elected. We screen our elected officials differently, and some of the requirements are different. So I just wanted to point out, it really sounds like from where we're sitting out there that you're looking at a hiring instead of an elected official. Thank you.
Well, if I could just respond to that. To the public is we are looking for a process that serves Story County the best and also that serves the board the best, right? This is a board of supervisors is not somebody who has their own little fiefdom. They work with two other individuals, which is sometimes, you know, easier for some people and sometimes harder. So we're looking for both who would be best for Story County, but also who would be best for our current board members that we have today, which are Linda Merkin and Laura Solson. So I think what we're doing is trying to get the best information to make the best decision to achieve those two goals is what we're working at. That's my goal today.
I think that we're using employment terms possibly because we want to make sure that the process is fair, and there are guidelines that have been set up by HR and by employment law to make sure that things are fair. I think we all understand that this is an appointment of a public official, not hiring a clerk in one of our offices. I think we just want to make sure that the way in which we set it up, we follow fair time frames, fair information to all candidates, and give, as Lucy said, ensure that we get the best option for Story County and its residents. So, any comments?
So, public comment. Oh, sorry.
As a comment, too, this is the second time that I've had to do this. So I'm not an HR director, or we're just looking for guidance and what is the best opportunity to get most of the public, if you're interested in applying, making it easy for you to get your application materials in, whether is that electronically or is that just via email or is that we're just going to have you mail it in or deliver it. That's what we're trying, I think, what we're trying to determine. So would anyone else like to speak during the public comment?
Doug Moore, 3938 Squaw, Ames. Lucy, can you address, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I've misinterpreted the code, so the entire appointment process could go forward, what you voted on now, and at that point, the voters can still petition to have a special election?
Yes, they have 14 days.
So, and what would the timeline look like if that happened for working all the way forward?
Well, we haven't set our schedule yet for when we want to make an appointment. So once the appointment is made, then the 14 days starts.
And then how long would it be? Well, could we just use Stacey, who was around the last time when Rick got mm-hmm. appointed? Can you just use that timeline, understanding that this hasn't been decided? But if you use the same timeline for the mm-hmm. last appointment process, then there'd be 14 days for petitions, and then there would be a special election process. Am I correct in saying that we could be well beyond the end of the summer?
Well, if petition for an election within the 14-day time frame, then I would have to find the earliest practicable date to hold that election, which at that point would not be July 9th anymore. It would be beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So the bare minimum you have to hold a special election is 32 days. And that's just to get, so whenever that petition would come in, 32 days beyond that would
be the minimum.
Would be the minimum. So okay. I guess we would be looking in August at that point,
okay.
Yes.
And the second part of the question, so right now the file that's on the governor's desk about special elections that she hasn't signed yet.
No, she signed it on Thursday.
So does that affect here?
No, this is a vacancy election. That's not affected by the special election dates.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
So
just to...
What might be affected is I think the headers of petitions have changed. So I have not seen anything come out from Secretary of State's office yet about that. The filing officer's guide has not been updated yet for that. So there might be some technical questions that need to be answered about that.
The appointment would serve up until the special election, though, even with a...
Yes.
So the county government would have three acting supervisors up until the time of the election.
Correct.
So it could be later in the summer, but we would still have the three positions in place until the special election.
Good point.
So.
Yeah. Any more comments from the public? Okay. So I'm going to close public comment number two.
Do I have to have a motion? Can you close them as chair?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay, excellent.
So we're still on our item number seven, consideration of additional action necessitated by our chosen option. We have agreed on a list of questions and additional required information.
We're discussing references.
Yeah.
How that.
So, but I don't know if you two share my vision of sort of two more meetings after this one.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I think that makes it most fair to everyone involved.
Right.
Gives a chance to not try to review public presentations and appoint on the same night. I think that.
Yeah.
The third would be good.
I guess, well, okay. So can I have a motion to approve the 12 questions and the additional required information so we can...
So moved. I'll move.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed or any opposed? Sorry. None? Okay. So now we go on to setting our dates. I brought my calendar and I brought my office's group calendar. And I know, Ted, you have tax sale coming up. Stacy, you have recorder school coming up.
Tax sale is Monday, June 17th.
We have Memorial Day next week, so... and we do have until July 9th. My preference would be to meet as soon as practically we can. I don't really want to push that. I would rather do something, let's say, mid-June-ish,
yeah,
at the latest.
When do you have recorder school?
My legislative meeting is June 5th at 4 o'clock in Council Bluffs, and then it's Thursday and Friday in Council Bluffs.
Okay, so you're out. Okay, we also have to look at publication schedule.
So this one, still meet the time frame to make the May 23rd publication in the Tribune and the Tri-County Times?
Probably not, because those two only publish on Thursday. Usually Monday morning I can... yeah, that's for next week, though. So... yeah, I don't... It's May, right? You still have a coffin, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I think we can't get anything published until probably May 30th at this point.
So that would be the notice to appoint.
Notice of intention to appoint. And then we could publish both meetings in that one.
Notice on the 30th.
Yeah, but if we want to give 10 days... I don't know.
What was our requirement? 4 to 10 days? Or what was it?
That's for the public meeting. But if we wanted to do 10 days to collect applications, I mean, we can go and post something on our website now and start the clock there. Mm-hmm. I'm just... And I can send a press release, or one of us can send a press release. And now I'm getting into the next item, but...
So Monday, June 10th, if we got it in on Thursday, June 30th.
May 30th.
Or Thursday, May 30th, we could meet Monday, June 10th.
Yes.
And I believe on one of your things, we thought an evening meeting. You guys did evening meetings last time, right?
I think that's best, yeah, for... public input and people's schedules in general. I mean, everything's going to be...
So
that would be my preference. It would be an evening meeting.
So meet on Monday the 10th for our first meeting, And would it be unreasonable to meet within that same week?
No, I think it would actually be preferable to meet again later.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like the 12th or the 13th?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Judging by the amount of people at this meeting, we would hold them here. We wouldn't have to move to a larger venue or anything. This would be fine.
Oh, everything is predicated on this meeting in this room.
Okay.
From my standpoint, yeah.
Oh, for the cost?
For the cost, for the staffing, for everything, yeah.
Okay. So Monday, June 10th, would we do like 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7?
I would say 5:30 or 6. Give 6 o'clock maybe. I can't remember what we did last time. Maybe 6 o'clock or 5:30. I'm usually in my jammies by like 9, so not that that's going to affect anything, but I would prefer sort of earlier in the evening than later.
I think 5:30 is reasonable.
Okay.
And at that, we would review finalists for then a, said June 12th or June 13th.
Yeah, I don't, I'm just throwing those dates out so we have a little bit of time to, I would probably say the 13th, so we can do, if we come up with a list of finalists on the 10th.
So if we're going to meet on the 10th and discuss finalists, are we going to say that submissions can be brought in all the way until the 10th?
No, I think we should say like submissions by like June 3rd would be
is that
more than ample.
And that's okay even if we aren't publishing until May 30th? Because we'll have them on the website tonight, this afternoon. I'm looking as I see Leanne. Who will be in charge of putting those on the website? I can receive
No, I did everything on the website.
You can put it on the auditor's page?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we do it on the 3rd, that's 2 weeks from today. That's 14 days.
I'm just thinking that if someone saw it on the 30th, which is that Thursday before, is 4 days enough to get all of that information. I thought maybe we could push it like 5th or 6th. I mean, that gives us just a shorter amount of time to review the applications, but
I think the 6th, I can block off the 6th and the 7th to review.
Well, I was thinking, I was thinking deadline for applications to be submitted.
Yes.
And then
you have to leave on the 5th. I was going to say, but I can email them to you while you're in front of the blog.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say like 11:59 on the 5th.
Oh, midnight?
If we're going to let people submit by email.
I like to go with a 5 p.m. deadline on any deadline days, but that's coming from elections, which is generally the case. But
5 p.m. on the 5th. Feel better about that, Stacey, giving people a
I just time. Thought a day or two more, just in case someone didn't see it on the website or in the paper or hear about it. It'd give them, 4 days to gather their information. But I'm flexible. It's not a deal breaker.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
So
let me recap. So we will post information yet today. We will send a publication or a notice to intent to appoint to the vacancy. That will go in the 3 official papers, which are the Ames Tribune, the Tri-County Times, and then the Beta Journal on the 30th. The deadline will be 5 p.m. on June 5th. We will meet for the first time on June 10th at 5:30 p.m. in this room, and then we haven't set a second meeting yet. I would prefer the
13th? 13th is fine with me.
13th can work for me. At 5:30 as well?
Yeah.
Shelley, do you know any when like the Board of Health meets or any other?
I think when I looked at this there, okay. I think this is the off week, so Board of Health and P&Z Commission are not meeting.
Okay, so we should be good with this conference room.
Because I did just sort of look at the public meeting room schedule. I didn't see anything on this week, but so okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, everybody clear on that? Can I get a motion to approve the schedule as presented?
Motion to approve making appointment applicants provide all materials by June 5th at 5 p.m. and have the committee meet on Monday, June 10th at 5:30 and again on Thursday, June 13th at 5:30.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. All right, so now we want to talk about our, we did touch on this in our earlier conversations about dates and action, but to make sure that we are communicating this to the public and any interested future supervisors, this will be posted on our website, county's website, yet today, might be refined as time goes by. I will issue a press release. We do have press covering this meeting, so that's helpful. Thank you, Robbie. I don't know. Leanne, when are you going on the radio? Or have you already done that?
I did that. I could see if we could get something on.
Okay. All right. So we will talk to Leanne Harder about hitting all of our media outlets as hard as we can.
And all application material will be turned in to
Ted Rasmussen.
And it can be electronic, mailed, in person.
Pony Express.
But not NeoGov.
Right. I think... Okay.
I just wanted to make it clear so people weren't out there trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
On our website.
Right. And then also we've had at least one submission where people use the board and commission's application. This is a separate process from that. So it's a process that we just defined at this meeting today. And be available on the county's website, and then we would have paper copies of that posted as well if anybody needed to see that. All right. Anything to add to our plan?
I think the June 10th meeting will be able to fine-tune what we're looking for and any other information that we might need, or I mean really we can't speculate the questions, possibly bring questions to the June 10th meeting as far as what we would want to ask for
questions.
The follow-up meeting for the applicants, how to determine.
Right, and I don't think we need to have and this is coming from me, I don't want to speak for you too, but I feel we should be able to ask individually in our public meeting any questions that we would like to ask, as long as we ask them of every person that we're talking to, we don't need pre-approval of those questions, all I'm saying.
Right.
When you guys had to do this previously, did you give any instruction to the possible appointees on what they should present on? I know you called them public presentations, and looking through the notes, it looked like they presented, but was there any guidance on what to present?
Mm-mm.
Or was it just present what you feel we should know?
Yeah, some people just spoke. Some people actually gave presentations with PowerPoints.
Okay.
I mean, that's... Yeah, that's not a defined process, I would say.
Okay.
So... Do we
have to have a...
I don't know. I don't think so.
Plan. We're just telling.
All right. Any announcements from you, my colleagues, that we never... The interesting thing about this meeting is that this is a group of people that does not have a regular meeting. So it's when we sit up here and talk about publication, it's not like we have a regularly scheduled meeting that everybody knows about. So we want to make sure that we are covering all our bases here. So we do talk together frequently and work together, but this is sort of a new experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or one that we do every 3 or 4 years. So
I'll pass. No comments.
Any announcements?
Look forward to move forward with this and,
yeah,
and you know, get our board of supervisors back to three.
Yes. Yeah. I would just reiterate that is our main goal, is to make the board whole as quickly and as efficiently as possible, but to also make sure that we talk to everybody and give everyone a chance to present, and that way we make the best decision for our citizens. So, all right.
Thanks to everybody who came today.
Yes,
I'll
thank you.
Adjourn.
Oh. All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.